Blog Talk Radio.
Bliggle, tickle, wriggle.
Get your pins and pencils. Welcome to the war room. We got Dev, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show to get the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five doing prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
What up, y'all? Welcome back to the show. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm joined by the Blueprint, Jimmy Williams, and the HBC, B. Austin. The NFL Conference Championships are here, and we'll break them down in depth. But before we do that, we got plenty more for you, so make sure you join us right now in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can join in the conversations. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. Also, during the week, make sure you guys take some time to hear some more great sports talk from some of our partners. Check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. And check out our boy Brandon Pemberton, the hardest working man in sports. He's on Sports Trap Radio, and that's every Thursday afternoon from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Time, also on Blog Talk Radio. And in addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication 3 times on Fridays. We're on NewVibeRadio.com. That's 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on FatsRadio.com. That's Fats with a P-H and a Z, Radio.com. What's good, Generals? How's the week?
Man, I'm out here trying to get that Clayton Kershaw. You know what I'm talking about?
Man.
Yo.
Man.
I'm out here trying to put that hoodie and mask on and find Clayton Kershaw.
Man.
Just being honest.
Jimmy, when you sent us the text, you know, when you got the news of what they were about to give Kershaw, man, I immediately went to the Sports Authority. And started looking for little gloves for the young boy. Some little baseball.
Man, you got to, yeah.
You know, he only two, but I'm trying to skip right over T-ball. He already got that. We don't really use that, but we try and go straight to the gloves and the real balls and the bats. Yo, he's getting like $30 million a year. 7 years, $215 million?
Yo.
Come on, Clayton.
Yo.
Come on, Clayton.
I'm trying to put it in perspective for you gentlemen. My man Clinton, unless he has a serious injury or just falls off the face of the earth, he's going to come close to a third of a Billy in his career. I believe.
Yeah, because you got to figure that he'll be out of this contract. Even if he plays through the whole thing, he'll be out of this contract at 30, sir. He's going to get another payday. I mean, unless he spends it and goes crazy.
If he stays healthy, he will get another contract. Yeah. I mean, me, if I get $215 and it's guaranteed, you know, I'm going to go ahead and make sure I'm going to have to get Tommy John surgery or something. I ain't trying to play that whole thing through. I'm just trying to get my money and roll off into that L.A. sunset. But that's crazy. But, Jimmy, you know, let us know what else happened this week while everybody was on the grind.
Man, you already know. Listen, man, for those that don't know, and, you know, if you're living in the rock or whatever, While You Were on the Grind is brought to you by DirecTV. If you'd like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, which includes the NFL Sunday Ticket, just go to our website, which is warroomsports.com, and click on the DirecTV logo. And order a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. Everybody likes to hook up. And like Percy Miller, we have the hookup. So make sure you go to worldsports.com, click on that DirecTV logo, and I'll go from there.
Gentlemen,
it's time to start the segment in which we get most of our JoJo Award nominees. So I just want to make sure you guys are awake and ready to listen to these JoJo Award nominees because the first story. Arian Foster, that's Australian for bear, is accused of harassment by his baby mother. According to her, he's trying to harass her into having an abortion. I read a little bit about this story, how, you know, she wants to come on reality TV. She's got all kinds of crazy pictures of her and her mom out there. You know, it's a bad story, but looking at how she carries herself, she probably should have been aborted. But with that being said, what do you guys think about Arian Foster allegedly trying to talk her into this, man?
First of all, Arian Foster, well, she also said his brother, Abdul, has been trying to get her to get an abortion because he said if she had the baby, their family would never accept the child, which, you know, I really don't believe that to be true. I think Arian is just trying to pull out all the stops, sending his brother in there to say that kind of stuff because you're doing something ignorant. You know, don't put that on your mom, and, you know, don't put that on the family.
So he's waiting till now to start pulling out. That's my mom.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's the bigger issue here because Arian Foster is married with two kids. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and act holier than thou. I know the kind of lifestyle these guys live. You know, they're on the road a lot. You know, the groupie life is out there. I'm not condoning it, but I know what kind of lifestyle they live. So it's like if you're even going to be this grimy dude to your family – don't bring anything home. Didn't we talk about this with Dwayne Wade? I mean, what's next?
Yeah,
Arian and his wife going to come out and say that they were on a break? FOH, man.
I'm going to take another angle to this that's going to
what?
Probably morning after.
Oh, okay.
you know, and you should have them on hand prior to.
Yo.
No. What I was going to say is the baby mama in question is of a fairer hue than his wife.
Uh-oh.
And so, you know, there's some...
She's a Becky.
Some,
what you want to say?
She's a Becky, and his wife is a Shaquita. And so there's that whole angle with the family, you know, being a little unaccepting. And there's actually tape of Arian Foster running around having an actual nervous breakdown and meltdown in front of the paparazzi in front of his house. He's out of control. Like, he knows that he done, you know, you done effed up now, right? Yeah, he's in a bad situation. Bad.
Yeah. Actually, Austin, I don't think you're correct. I think his wife is a little Becky-ish as well. She looks like she got something else going on with her.
Uh-oh.
Nah,
so you're saying he's one for the Becky. I mean, it's crazy. Man. This is a crazy story. He's definitely a JoJo Award nominee. She's accusing him of threatening her. We don't know what the truth is, but one thing we do know, well, we can't even say we know that at all. I mean, the baby's not here yet, you know? So, and you know how scandalous some women could be. Not saying she is.
No.
But
the one thing we know is that he is married, and not to her.
This is true. But did he even admit to any kind of fornication, though? What is he admitting to?
I haven't heard his side yet. I mean, this is a 20-year-old senior at the University of Houston. Allegedly, they met last summer while Arian was staying at a hotel during training camp. They were staying at local hotels instead of, like, dorms. I think they met there and had their first quote-unquote sexual encounter, and then he took her on a trip to L.A.
Allegedly.
He was getting some kind of treatment, allegedly. He was recovering from back surgery, so she claimed that, you know, she was falling in love
she
and
was
didn't know
she
that
was
he was married with two kids.
Here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that I mean, the story, of course, sounds fishy, but at the end of the day, man, it's three sides to every story. And the way she's been carrying herself and you know, you should never judge a victim if she is, in fact, a victim. But the fact remains that this is a victim. That's what it's looking like right now, good brother. I'm not saying that it's not his. All I'm saying is if it came out and it wasn't his, I wouldn't be surprised based upon the way she's been carrying herself. So, You know, because
she's trying to get him to take a DNA test, you know, to prove, you know, to mm-hmm. prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's his, because they have some crazy child support laws in Texas. If you have, you're supposed to pay 20% of your net resources for one child, but if you already have children, then that goes down to 16%. This will have to conclude with a DNA test, you know, this whole situation right here, to start the whole new situation of child support if it is indeed his kid.
From what I read, and of course, you don't know the whole story. Before she even contacted him about a DNA, she started contacting agents about getting a reality show. So, I mean, it just makes it. And the thing is, not to say that she's lying about anything, but it just comes off kind of crazy, right? Anyway,
a lot of times these days, even the ones who look thirsty like that, they're not necessarily lying. They just know that it's time to cash in.
The thing is, because Arian Foster put her in a position where she possibly could cash in, you are the first JoJo Award nominee. All right, gentlemen, I've written his name down, so before we actually get out of here, before the end of the show, because obviously we're going to come across some more JoJo Award nominees, before we get out of here.
There might be one coming right up.
Absolutely. Let's go to the next story. Deshaun Jackson is a victim of home invasion. Now, home invasion can happen to anybody, but what made this crazy was the initial reports were that he lost about $250,000 in cash, some jewelry. They took the time to open two of his safes. He had three safes. They took the time to sit in his crib and open two of them, and the third one they just took with him. Like, we're taking this with us. Deshaun Jackson has been in the news for nothing well. I mean, he's already asking for more money. This happened before he got robbed, you know, before the jokes went down, but... What do you guys think about Deshaun Jackson allegedly keeping that kind of cash? Now, he says he never said it was $250,000. He said it was...
Now,
go ahead,
I didn't hear, like, the way they entered the safe. Like, was this some, you know, they actually found a way to pick it or something? Like, if this was some old hood dude stuff, we're dudes in the hood.
But that's why a lot of people...
That's some Ocean's 11 type stuff, like...
It is, but in the local papers and everything, they're like insinuating without saying that everybody believes it's some sort of inside job. Like Deshaun is one of those guys who like basically has a lot of friends because he's a West Coast guy, so he keeps a lot of friends around him, and these guys have access to his house when he's not there. Now supposedly he has like a floor that his floor that he can let anybody on, but you know, come on, man, like. So everybody's thinking.
Stolen from, right?
Yeah, exactly. Second so everybody's floor. Thinking it's an inside job. No one knows who's done it as of yet. Shout out to the homie Naeem because he said Meek Mill got something to do with it. I mean,
yo, he's all over Meek
Mill. That's Naeem theory. That's the Naeem theory.
Blast, yo.
That's Naeem theory. I don't know.
Meek, if you're listening, that is not representative.
That's Naeem's thing. But it's crazy though, man, because this story is like
shout out to ARS.
Yo,
so
he can't be blamed
right now, man.
He on vacation right now. We stay over there.
The theories of it being an inside job, like when people are talking about that, do they just mean like maybe one of his friends actually robbed him, or are they trying to say that Deshaun Jackson himself may have something to do with this?
Oh, no. It's never been insinuated that he had anything to do with it. But the narrative that's being told is basically one that we hear time and time again, where people keep a certain element around them because this is who they come up with. And guys take advantage. Guys are jealous, man. It's funny, man.
I know the angle that Dev is going in, meaning that Deshaun had someone smart enough to advise him, because he's not smart enough on his own, but somebody that advised him of, you know, how insurance companies pay out in the case of a theft or burglary. and that, you know, he's trying to come up on the come up.
I mean, yeah, that may be true. I mean, he did ask for a raise like 2 days before it happened, so maybe he'd be some
I mean, because remember last summer, fellas, there were some rumors that DeSean Jackson may have had some money problems, and then like 2 days before he got robbed, he asked for a raise or a restructure of his contract so he can get some more bread up front. And then, you know, all of a sudden he goes out of town and comes back and he's missing $250K. You know,
I'm just asking.
Those are part of the rumors.
Naeem just chimed in on Facebook. He said, yes, sir. DeSean paid Meek to do it. So he said, he's implicating everybody right now. He's implicating DeSean and Meek. Yeah, but and I'll also just real quick, at Casey Mack chimed in on Twitter, who's in the Texas area. He said it's 20% for the first kid, 5% for each additional kid if by the same mom. Kid by multiple moms, 20% for the first kid. He's breaking it all down. Hey, at Casey Mack, I don't know if this is by experience, man, but we appreciate
your
data.
Casey Mack
out there, you know, doing his thing in Texas, so shout to him.
Getting his D-weight on.
So, DeSean Jackson, right, we don't know whether you had anything to do with it. We don't know whether you're being taken advantage of by your friend.
Meek did it.
Shout out to Crew Six. We don't know if Meek did it. All I know is, even if you are putting yourself in a position where you can be taken advantage of, and if you put yourself in a position where this can, because if you have something to do with it, somebody's going to first 48 you, and you're going to get caught up in this. So we have our
And it's supposedly a $50,000 reward out for anybody with information. So the homie Naeem better go say something, because we found out Meek did it, and he not going to get his money. Get that money.
You already know. Listen, the Cornball brother, a.k.a. RG3, a.k.a. Robert Griffin III, he has took to Facebook to address his critics, and he has many of them these days. Dev, do you have his statement that he made in reference to his critics?
I got some of his quotes. He actually, like you said, he went on his Facebook page and was answering questions. Some of the questions that he chose to answer were really kind of stupid, and they really didn't mean much, but I have some of his quotes. He was like, quote, "You think I want it to be national news that I visit a beach or shop at Walmart or wore red shoes instead of green yesterday? Well, I don't. I'm striving for greatness just like my fellow teammates do. The attention that comes with being a quarterback in the league is what you're referring to. All the press conferences and talking to the media mandated by the league to have a press conference every week during the season and during team activities during the off season." So he explained that, and then he went on explaining about somebody asked him why you wear a sleeve if there's nothing wrong with your arm. So he named like 67 teammates who do something. You know, he's one of them, well, such and such do this and such do that. You know, Pierre Garçon wears Fang mouthpiece and Santana wears a glove on this. And so I'm not trying to be different. It's just what makes me comfortable. I feel if he was
going
to take to social media to answer some questions and to set some stuff straight, it would be things more important than the ones that he answered. But hey,
now here's my take on this whole thing. It shows what a great use the a great tool that social media can be, because you can bypass traditional media and talk directly to your fans. But if you're going to sit there and pick like random stupid questions, then it's like you're kind of using the tool the wrong way. RG3, I hope in his career that he can be successful. It's funny how race always becomes an issue when we talk football, specifically with the quarterback position. And what I realized this week, talking with you guys, talking with other people, RG3, guys like Colin Kaepernick, a lot of the reasons why people come at them the way they do is because of their arrogance. These guys have no humility. RG3 carries himself as if he's already won about 3 championships. Colin Kaepernick acts as if he won a Super Bowl last year. And B. Austin brought up a point on the show last night, Field Vision, which can be found on worldinsportstv.com, by the way. He was talking about Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's also a quarterback of color, but because of the way he carries himself, he gets away with certain things he does on the field. So, you know, humility goes a big way when you're talking about an athlete. And RG3 has pretty much acted as an asshole since he's been in the league. And now the backlash is crazy. The backlash is crazy. He's an arrogant guy. He's always been an arrogant guy.
He chose to do that on his Facebook page. And if you look at his Facebook page, the page is still overwhelmingly positive. It's still a bunch of Koloffs on his page. So
but you know the crazy,
I don't understand
here's
why
crazy
he chose
part,
that
though.
One dude to go at like that.
Yeah, here's the crazy part. Like, if, even if you are going to be
you know
arrogant
why
and all
that,
it's okay with that too. But one thing I don't like is when you have an athlete who's completely arrogant, but then when people turn on him, it gets to be sensitive. It's like Barkley was arrogant too, but Barkley was who he was all day long. They're never just like, okay, now you're
right.
coming at me and I'm acting
right.
all sensitive. He's like, yo,
right.
I'm an asshole 24/7.
Yeah, and some of what you're saying, Jimmy, is really – it speaks to the society and the culture we're in today in 2014. These dudes are all sensitive. They all listen to Drake and August Alsina, and so – you know, they're emotional over people that don't really have a bearing or a true influence on their life. But they're not prepared to take the lumps that come with them putting themselves way out there. If you're going to be braggadocious, haughty, and talk the talk, then you must walk the walk, prepared to take the lumps with the fall if you cannot walk that walk or the perception is you're not walking that walk. So they all build themselves up. They listen to the hype. And now, you know, we found out that RG3 isn't necessarily the greatest quarterback in the world, but shout out to his athleticism. And he's getting killed for it. So,
yeah.
But
I mean,
he answered that in that group, though, Dez. He answered it in that group so that that one lone hater, once he answered, then everybody could come to his aid and jump
and
on
that's actually what happened.
Gang
that's
up.
Actually what happened.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, that's
there was a lot
happened.
Of, you don't have to listen to this stuff, RG3, you the man. So you're saying that was calculated. He knew that was going to
yeah,
come.
Yeah, that was a calculated,
after
yeah,
he,
yeah.
Because yeah. there was a lot of Nikita Koloffs after that. Like, yeah, you the man,
yeah.
RG3, you don't have to listen to him.
Yo, shout out to the cornball
brother.
The
only
man,
reason
I mean,
you threw all them interceptions was because of the receivers and the offensive line. You still better than Peyton Brady and Tom Manning.
People out here looking for heroes, man. I just think it's interesting when you watch the dynamic of how these young guys play. Like, even when you look at the quarterbacks coming into the league, because the position, and I've been saying this on this show forever, the position is changing. And when you look at guys like Johnny Manziel, he's also a little brash guy, but, yo, that's who he is. He got caught up in all that. He's
yo,
like, listen, this is
yo,
me.
Jimmy.
No
sensitivity. Jimmy, we was all good. We was fighting the same war. We was rowing the same boat in the same direction until you come with that the position is changing stuff. No, fam.
No. No, it is. No, but here's my thing, B. Austin. My thing is I'm not saying that it's a good thing, but the fact of the matter is there aren't really any pocket passers left at the highest level of college football. It just isn't. Brady and Manning are the last of a dying breed.
There isn't. It's not as frequent.
I think they just don't get the attention.
Aren't taking the time to develop them, and they're not getting the attention. But they're out there, and I believe cream will always rise to the top. So if you open your mouth, never mind.
Yeah.
Those that can ball are going to rise to the top, because if you come into the NFL with the complexity of the defenses you face and the complexity of the playbook they're going to hand you, eventually that athleticism-ish is going to run its course and it's going to run. Look, man, you don't want to
play. Hold. Most of the defenses now, it's sort of like there's been a paradigm in terms of, like, collegiate athletics and the pros. It's like, most of the offenses and defenses in the pros now, they're taken from college, whether it be the spread.
Most of the offenses are, and that is as a result of these guys coming in with underdeveloped passing games.
And it's also a result of college coaches permeating the pro system in terms of even that head coach or the assistant positions. A lot of them coming directly from college.
You can name two or three college coaches, but there's not a lot of college head coaches. The game has changed. The game has changed slightly, but I think there will be a quote-unquote market adjustment, because the principles of football at the NFL level are going to be the principles of football, and you cannot run athletics-based offense in the NFL because everyone is a great athlete. So
we're going to revisit this conversation because
we've seen the pistol. Look at the amount of pistol and option snaps across the board.
I understand that, but here's one thing. Here's one thing that you have to account for. A lot of the offense that you consider to be, you know, collegiate offenses or not the pro offenses, they're exciting. Whether they're and the fans love it, and at the end of the day, that's what works. What's going to monetize? Would guys rather watch athletic quarterbacks who do things that they can't do, or they rather watch a prototypical pocket passer? So, and the NFL is good for changing rules to kind of make it so.
But if franchises want to win, they can't really conform to what's entertaining, though.
If you're talking about winning, you know, versus making money, that's a whole other argument. And I guarantee you, many of them would rather make the money than to win. There's only a couple owners that will go all out to win. A lot of these guys enjoy making the bread they make. And the fact of the matter is, you're saying that the cream will rise to the top. I mean,
I think they all want to win. I just think, like what you're saying, Jimmy, I think the bread just makes it that much easier to lose. Like, I can take losing because I'm not just losing. Because I'm getting bread.
If I monetize the way I want to. But here's the thing, though,
I still think everybody wants to win. I just think the bread.
Man, I don't even know about that. I can't even say that, Dev. You're more confident than I am in that. I can't say that.
You're thinking about Jerry Jones and Daniel Snyder. That's what you're thinking about. No, they don't care about winning. But
I think they care about winning more than most owners. I think they care to the point where they kind of ruin their chances of winning because they mingle too much. I think there's other owners who you never see who are cool with just sitting back and competing. You know what I mean? In the NBA, there's owners that will admit. In the NBA, it's a whole different sport. There are owners that will straight admit to it. Donald Sterling
I wouldn't even venture to have this conversation and include the NBA because
I'm just saying there are owners that have said it in the NBA. No one's really said it in football, to my knowledge. But with that being said, though, the offense, this is an argument. It's all a matter of opinion.
Mind will tell. And you're putting these quarterbacks out on the wing to get hit. You can't pay a guy the type of money that you're paying them to get these to take these hits.
But see,
well,
I think you're misunderstanding. I think you're misunderstanding what I'm saying.
Maybe quarterback money about to decrease.
It already has in a sense. But I think you're misunderstanding what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they're going to be running, you know, the wishbone and they're going to run the option every play. I'm saying the way the quarterback position is played in terms of it being Fred Perdue, the old school stereotypical pocket passer. I'm saying most of these guys are complete athletes.
My opinion, Jim, I think everybody's going to want to go after an athletic quarterback now, but I still think they're going to try to get those guys to conform to be, you know, into pocket passers and have that athletic ability, you know, to be able to do what they got to do when the traditional breaks down.
Andre the Giant. Find Drew
Brees. It's just for me that when I watch college football at its highest level in the past, it's like there would always be, like there just doesn't seem to be any pocket passes at that level. There may be one or two, but that's it. Like, and then when you look at the highest rated quarterback coming out, none of them are the traditional pocket passers. And I understand what you're saying, trying to get them to conform, but the way the game is worked now, and a part of it is because they're not getting an opportunity to grow into the position, they want to win ASAP.
So instead
of coaching them up, they say, listen, what you run last year? All right, well, this is what we're running this year. Because you want to win right now.
I agree to an extent.
So then 5 years later, it's like, they never grew with the quarterback. Anyway, This is going to happen. I blame the cornball brother for this, man. Shout out to RG3, man. Get healthy so we can really slander you and you don't have the excuse of being hurt. Anyway, Media Takeout, that our credible source, Media Takeout, has reported that there is a gay sex tape featuring Kobe Bean Bryant. Los Angeles Lakers fans went off. You know, no one knows what the facts are as of yet. No one has seen the tape, thank God. But, you know, all the Kobe pics of him posing in that white outfit looking like, you know.
It's all resurfacing.
an alternative lifestyle Amish person. They all have resurfaced as of today.
You are gay.
You know, media take kind of say, and they got the tape. They said they got the tape.
I mean, I don't have much on this. Of course, there's been a lot of denials. There's been a lot of, you know, people saying media takeout has no proof of this. The only proof that they allegedly have is somebody on a video whose voice sounds like Kobe Bryant, and that's what they're going off of to spread a story this big out there. And that's kind of crazy in itself, you know, whether it's him or whether it's not him. I mean, I guess we'll find out, because people aren't going to leave any stones unturned and something like this. So I'm, you know, sit back and see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that I'm not interested. I can say that I don't really, you know, it'll be a giant story if it's true. But in the larger scheme of things, you know, who Kobe decides to get smashed by, not my problem.
Yo, if this comes out to be true, yo, well, how much more is Vanessa going to put up with? She put up with him getting to Becky and going through the air, and now it's another story. Like, he's just out of control. By the way, real quick, before Beyonce gives his opinion, though, I just want to say, RG3, for you going off on that fan the way you did, you are also a nominee.
True.
All right, be off it. What do you have on a Kobe story?
Real quick.
Nothing.
All right, well, we can move on then.
All right.
So, last story I just want to briefly talk about is this last JoJo Award nominee of this segment, which is Javaris Crittenden, who's been indicted on drug charges.
He's been JoJo the last time.
Be honest, all jokes aside, like, I know that our show hasn't run a decade yet. We're on the way, but he's JoJo of the decade. Javaris Crittenden
is JoJo of the decade. So he and 13 other people were named in this indictment, saying he conspired in a deal to sell cocaine and marijuana, and this was in the months before he was indicted last year for his role in an Atlanta murder. A drive-by. So this indictment comes down while he's already awaiting trial for murder. So it's like, yo, this dude just can't win. He can't win. Yo, he's like Aaron Hernandez out there. He laying the murder game down. He got product on the street.
Hey, yo, he's
just basically
don't learn,
man. He got guns in the locker room. Remember all of that? Man. Come on, man.
Be awesome. Do you really think he could be JoJo in a decade, though, with Adrian Broner walking the streets?
Yo, Jimmy tried to set me up. He threw me an alley-oop. I do.
I mean, Hernandez is nominated, too. But here's the thing, though. We can move on and give some birthday shout-outs, but the one thing I do want to say is, so far this show, we have 4 JoJo Award nominees. One threatened his baby mom to get an abortion. One could possibly be in an insurance scam. One is taking to social media to blast critics on dumb questions. And one of them is indicted on drug charges. I mean, and this is what's going on in the world.
While awaiting a murder trial.
This is
while awaiting a murder trial, after being, you know, basically blackballed from the NBA for almost having a shootout in the locker room. So it's just piling on for this dude. Like, you got to give it to him.
This is where our sports are in 2014, gentlemen. I just had to say that. With that being said, let's give some birthday shots before we proceed with this show. Dad, who's having a birthday?
All right, everybody. Birthdays, of course, are brought to you by our favorite doctor, Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. For the very best and comprehensive treatment of injuries to the foot, ankle, and lower extremities, make sure you visit Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. They are treating patients in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area and beyond. So even if you're not in that area, still give them a call because, you know, you might be able to be helped anyway. Visit alexandriapodiatry.org or call 703-379-0700. Again, that number is 703-379-0700, and make sure you tell the good doc that War Room Sports sent
my
you.
My birthday, yay!
Real quick, birthday shout-outs. Another rich dude, Albert Pujols, turns 34 years old. Joe Williams, former wide receiver, New Orleans Saints, who likes to pull cell phones out of the goalpost, turns 42 today. Roy Jones, get my boot stretched, Jr., turns 45. And Jeff Foster, former NBA player for the Indiana Pacers, who I used to think looked like a 6'9 woman, he's also celebrating a birthday today. So we'd like to give a big, nice War Room Sports salute to all of these fellas and Jeff on their birthdays.
My birthday.
Yo!
All right, real quick, family, y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. It's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. You might want to go ahead and do that. We have great rates. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab. Shop around. Buy War Room Sports merchandise. Click the blog tab. Read our latest sports articles on the All Sphere and Sports and War blog. Then you can click the respective icons to like our Facebook page. That's where we talk all day, every day. Follow us on Twitter. That's busy. Subscribe to our iTunes podcast so you can listen to the show anytime you want. Or you can download our free War Room Sports mobile app and do everything I just said all in one place. And then you got to make sure you go to War Room Sports TV to check out our video content. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you're lazy and you don't want to do that, just you can sign in with your Facebook or Twitter accounts. While you're at it, click follow. You can get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room today during the show, just like we do every week. If you want to call in and speak to us, the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline is now open. That number is 323-410-0012. Just press 1 when prompted. If you already listen from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. So while we're waiting on some of you guys to press 1, because we see a whole gang of people up in the on the switchboard, while we're waiting for some people to get some heart and press 1, we'll talk about some hot topics. Jimmy, hot topics are brought to you by.
The hot topics are brought to you by. I like saying that from the seat. Never mind. They're brought to you by Audible. If your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. Visit audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can listen to the latest bestsellers, hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done. I know some people have signed up, but I talked to a couple people this week that have signed up for Audible to enjoy a lot of books, and they asked me for recommendations. If you're looking for sports, I'm listening to the Dr. J John right now. It's kind of funny because after that great Mike Tyson one, nothing seems as good as that, but Dr. J hasn't gotten into a lot of his, his affairs.
Yo,
he mentions that he will get into them.
A Mike Tyson autobiography is probably the last book you should ever read in your life.
Yeah, it probably is because Dr. J is talking in the book about how he's going to get you some of his exploits. Mike Tyson started the book out with
in the prelude,
he was eating beaver, like before the book started. I'm like, yo, Mike, stop, man, what are you doing? So, I mean, but there's also a lot of great, what was that?
Mike don't play no game.
No game. But also, for all my TV heads that love Game of Thrones, they have every one of the books on audiobook at Audible. So, and the thing about it is I had a conversation with DJ Willie G this week. I was telling him a lot of times with books, the books catch so much more information than the TV shows and movies. The Wolf of Wall Street, I read that book, a lot more information than. If you like the movie, you can only imagine the stuff that was left out of the movie. So let's leave it at that. But audibletrial.com/warroomsports, and you can actually get one free book by going to that URL. And if you don't want to keep the service, don't keep the service, but go get your free book and try it out, because guess what? You'll keep the service. What's going on, Jeff?
All right, look, man, you know the A-Rod situation, again, has spiraled out of control. So Alex Rodriguez has been suspended for the entire 2014 season and playoffs, if the Yankees are lucky enough to make it into the playoffs. What do you guys think about this? I mean, we all know that his former trainer or whoever the guy was, the founder of the clinic, Anthony Bosch was on 60 Minutes. He's not his trainer. He was the founder of the actual anti-aging clinic where A-Rod was getting the stuff. He said in a 60 minutes interview that A-Rod paid him $12,000 a month to provide him with an assortment of banned drugs that included testosterone and human growth hormone. Now, you know, you have two sides to everything. So the critics, everybody's out there, and they've already thought that A-Rod was a scumbag. But, you know, that's basically the consensus right now. But when you've done this stuff, because you wonder why after his first admission, you know, why he would still be doing stuff. But when you sit back and think about it, this man has made, well, will make like $500 million just off baseball contracts alone. So at this point, I don't think he cares. If PEDs make him better and it keeps getting him paid, why would he stop? You already know that the moral cats are not letting anybody into the Hall of Fame. But in my eyes, Alex Rodriguez won, man. No matter what you think.
I mean, he's won in the game of life, because I've seen that question posed a lot of times. Like, you know, considering the punishment you'll get versus what you're going to make from a financial standpoint, would you take the drugs or what have you? Now, a lot of people don't talk about what happens to you physically years later down the line from taking all those, you getting horse tranquilizer shot in your ass. I mean, there's going to be a side effect to that. But at the end of the day, I mean, his kids don't have to work. There's no way that A-Rod could spend the money that he made. A-Rod has made, like, we're talking about a guy that's going to generate close to $500 million playing baseball. It's crazy.
You know, I just wonder, as I think about it, I wonder what his value is to the organization. Like, if they paid a half a billion, if he's made a half a billy, man, that's an astronomical number to play a child's game, man. It's an astronomical.
I mean, it is. Yo, it is. I mean,
well, listen.
But at the end of the day, he's won. Dev is right, though. He's won. I mean, because he's won championships. He's played at the highest level. He was compared to some of the greats. Now, his name is going to be tarnished. But
listen to
in
what
the
he
way
said,
society, we'll forget about it.
He was speaking at a promotional event recently. This was after the suspension came down. I mean, because you know he's suing and trying to appeal or whatever. But I think he knows at this point that nothing's going to happen. He was speaking at a promotional event and actually said, I think that in the year 2014, the league could have done me a favor because I've played 20 years without a timeout. So he's actually making light of it, whether, you know, that he said the league did me a favor. He said, I think 2014 will be a year to rest mentally and physically, prepare myself for the future, and begin a new chapter of my life. So I think he's reserved to the fact that, yeah, I have one. Y'all don't want me to play? You still got to pay me. So, well, I think the suspension is without pay, but still, like, does that matter at this point?
Yo, the amount of money he's made, though, like, it's crazy. And, you know, it's not all about money in his story, because obviously there's a whole other side of the story, because all these players have kids looking up to them, and you always hear the excuse, how can I compete if I don't do it because everybody else is doing it? You know what I mean? It's bad. He got everybody taking drugs, man. I just think, listen, make it legal. If you want to harm your body to try to entertain me, go ahead. Make it legal.
I mean, Pierre Garçon with a fang mouthpiece. I mean, shoot.
Shout out again to the Cornball Better, man. A-Rod, you can't even get a JoJo Award nominee because you're winning right now, man.
Yo,
I know. I can't hear. We can't even say he should be ashamed of himself, because what he's doing that everybody thinks he should be ashamed of has made him the richest man in baseball. So, I can't speak to the level of a JoJo Award for him.
Yo, A-Rod makes more in a year than
like
Danny and Billy combined,
though. You're like, if you already got in trouble for this, like, why would you do it again? And then he just take out his checkbook, and you'd be like, okay.
It's crazy.
After you show you his ledger, okay.
It's crazy, Dad, because when I see stuff like the Clayton Kershaw contract, or when A-Rod's name is in the news, they always bring up his salary, because he's actually synonymous with, like, an out-of-control contract. So Anytime his name is in the news, they bring up how much money he makes. So when you see this, and then you see, did you see average players making a couple $1 million? You see below average players making a couple million. Why would anyone want to play football? Like, you know, you're putting your body at risk. You won't remember what you did 10 years from now, and you're not even making that kind of money. Like, in comparison to what baseball players make, football players don't even make no money. Alex Rodriguez is making more. He's made more this year not playing than Peyton Manning and Brady have played combined.
That's true.
So, well, to all our fans out there, and to my brothers right here, both of you guys have sons, man. Yo, get them into baseball, yo.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Might even put some horse tranquilizers in him. Can't even shoot him up.
Shoot this little kid up with steroids at the age of six, yo. Like, taking vitamins.
You're gonna have like a 7.5 head at like hat size at like six. All right, but look, sticking in Major League Baseball, you know, this story has social implications because, you know, we all know with the whole controversy behind Native American mascots and sports, and, you know, not even just team names and mascots, but it's how you do it, you know, if it's tasteful, if it's, you know, a tribute. And we all know the Cleveland Indians, their logo, Chief Wahoo, has always sparked controversy because, frankly, to me, it looks like the red-faced version of blackface to me with the big teeth and the, you know, just red complexion. It seems as if they're trying to de-emphasize the logo. The only problem with this is that the Cleveland Indians are actually denying this. So maybe it's a case where they are starting to de-emphasize it and try to maybe phase it out, but at the same time they don't want to look like they're getting bullied into doing it, because I can't see any other reason for them denying it. But it seems like from now on the main logo is going to be the Block C. They're still going to have Chief Wahoo in certain places. I think it's still going to be on the uniform and stuff like that.
But it used to adorn
everything. It used to be the logo that's just out there on the telecast, on the uniforms. You know, just on all the merchandise, and everything you see was Chief Wahoo, and they've starting, you know, to de-emphasize it, but they won't admit it. So what do you guys think of that? Like, you want to give them props for doing something, but, you know, they're
You don't want to give them props, really, because what they're doing is hedging. They are hedging on the fact that there's enough noise being made here in the nation's capital and enough sentiment being generated to where they can quickly exit Chief Wahoo if need be, if they feel like the negative sentiment turns into a tidal wave. So all they're doing is hedging. This has nothing to do with true social implications outside of how those social implications affect their bottom line dollar-wise. They just don't want no problems. Like, it ain't
so
– they're
hedging
really
it.
Care. Yeah,
but here's the thing, though. I just think that if someone calls into the carpet, all they're going to do is say, well, look what the Redskins are doing. Like, they're going to point the fingers.
Washington professional sports team is egregious.
That's why I'm wondering why they're denying anything, though, because when somebody does call into the carpet, they can at least say, well, we've made efforts to, you know, slack off on that. Like, I wouldn't be ready to just give them props altogether because it's controversial. It's disrespectful. People are offended. So I think when it comes to that, if you really care, you just have to do away with it. You know, to hell with de-emphasizing it little by little. You just have to do away with it, you know, if you really care about what's being said in society. So, you know, I'm interested in the whole thing. You know, I'm down with the plight of the Native Americans when it comes to, you know, this logo and name Redskins and all kinds of stuff like that. I'm down with their play. I know how to put my feet in the other people's shoes and realize that things exist outside of my own box. So,
real quick,
shout out to the people that's like, why you care?
Yo, at AC Mac 38, just wanted to point out real fast that A-Rod has been with the New York Yankees for 10 years now. But he's still getting paid by the Texas Rangers, too, so he's still getting chicken from them as well.
Yeah, the Rangers started the Rangers started this madness when they paid him $2 million less than what they paid for the franchise.
George Bush.
I was waiting for that. I was waiting for that. You know what I mean? Why Bush knocked down the towers? Anyway, what's the next one?
George Bush don't like black people. Oh. Anyway, we started the NBA season with a lot of rhymes and a lot of rigging for Wiggins, and it would seem, you know, after his first few months on the job down in Kansas, that his stock may be dropping a little bit. A lot of people who do big boards have actually moved his teammate, Joel Embiid, the big seven-footer. He's raw, but he's a seven-footer, and he's showing promise. So a lot of people have moved him to the top of the big board and have Andrew Wiggins somewhere around second or third, depending on where you would draft him and Jabari Parker. What do you guys think of the whole rigging for Wiggins campaign now? Are people, like, reneging on Wiggins? Like, what's going on?
Reneging on Wiggins? I think that the whole hype surrounding Wiggins is, again, it's indicative of the society and the generation we live in. Wiggins is really the first athlete, not the first athlete of the social media age, but this first athlete of the YouTube age. This young man's high school YouTube videos all went viral. Like, all of them. Anything that went on YouTube about Andrew Wiggins got 1 million views. And the scouts saw the athleticism. They saw the talent. You know, they saw 6'8 with quick, 6'8 with bounce. And they immediately said, he's it. It's their wagon. We got the next LeBron. It's all the explosion, it's all the icing without the substance or the cake. No one took the time to really analyze this young man, really dig deep in his game. They just started looking at, could he be the next T-Mac? Can he be the next LeBron? Can he be the next Paul George? It was all flash bang based on the social media movement as opposed to really, really taking a look at this kid. Now, I still think that he could possibly live up to some level of the hype, but we don't know. We haven't given him a chance to grow. He's a 19-year-old kid, for God's sake.
That's the angle that I was going to take. I think if you were that hype on a guy, you don't sour on him this quickly. Like, you haven't even given him a chance to live up to the hype. Mm-hmm. And anybody who's, you know, followed basketball, covered basketball, played basketball – realizes that college ball is a different game from the NBA. So where it looks like
he may be
struggling, he may still come into the NBA and be great because of his athletic ability. The NBA is more of an athletic, you know, driven league.
Yo,
where
college is where
it's more structured.
That is where I was going to go with it, because I've heard a lot of people say the whole thing about the YouTube. But that's not necessarily 100% true, because he played AAU ball and he crushed the competition. I mean, the fact of the matter is his name was even made playing high school basketball because he plays in Canada. No disrespect to our Canadian fans out there. But I'm saying his name was made on the AAU circuit crushing the competition. But at the end of the day, man, these hourglass head dudes be fronting, man. They know damn well that they would still take him within one of the top three picks of the draft. Like Dev said, the NBA game is completely different than the college game. Because, to face it, if LeBron would have went to school, he probably wouldn't have been, you know, as dynamic as he was as a rookie in the league. Because if he would say he didn't want to Duke, you think Coach K would let him run wild? The Coach K don't play that. You know what I mean? Like, you have to understand that these are two, even though they're the same sport, they're two different games. They're two different games. I mean,
I think this
is all out of control right now, man.
I think it's all smoke.
It's also trendy, man. When somebody starts to, like, you know, bash one person, it becomes trendy to bash him. Shout out to Carmelo Anthony, because he's going through that now. Like, people jump on a bandwagon if you want to bash, man.
Yeah, some people have actually said, you know, they have sources in the league that said, like, a third of the teams have taken him off the number one spot of their big board. I don't really believe that at this point. I think if you gave somebody this much hype, like, had he not had to go to college, he would have been the number one pick in the draft. If you're going to give him that much hype, I'm pretty sure you're not going to just, you know, just fall off the wagon like that quickly on somebody who still has all the potential in the world. Like, people are talking about things like, you know, his jumper and his handle, but which great players had great jumpers? And you know, at age 18. Like, so I'm the stuff that they're – he's been inconsistent, so people are getting they're a little afraid. I think
even if he falls – like, from being a number one pick, that may happen. But he's not going nowhere past, like, 3 to 5. Like, he's going to be a top 5 pick. And the fact of the matter is, when he gets out of his college system and he gets to play against, like, you know, other pros, and he starts to use his athletic ability the way that it will be in the NBA, he's probably going to jump right back up. It's just trendy to bash him right now. I don't know. I mean, most of our oldest probably can't remember Michael Jordan playing in college, but Michael Jordan playing in college wasn't the same Michael Jordan that played in the NBA. His jersey was broke, the game was different.
Yeah, my thing is this. If he does slip from the number one spot, I think I would be a little disappointed if he slipped in favor of his teammate. Not saying – I've watched Embiid play, and I see that the potential that everybody's starting to rave over, but it doesn't change the fact that this guy is raw. He's somebody who hasn't been playing basketball all that long, and I always think that start to do that, when teams risk their – you know, their future on something like that, I think more times than not, I think they strike out. So,
you know what it is, man?
If you would pass up on two guys that you thought were sure shots in Wiggins and Parker to draft a raw 7-footer in a league where, you know, it isn't even controlled by big men anymore. So
that's one thing that has never changed, man.
If you're gonna make a mistake big.
Make a mistake big. That's the cliche.
Like a Sam Bowie
thing is,
but
that's the thing, man. That they, scouts and NBA, front office guys will never be able to get away from that because, like DeAustin said in one of our shows, you can't teach size. And shout out to Jalen Rose. I heard him say that. Listen, he talks to NBA executives, and the bottom line is, if you're 7 foot and you can walk and chew gum at the same time, you'll always have a job. So.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Greg Oden. Look how many opportunities he's gotten. I mean, but also look at Greg Oden, to your point, how he was drafted ahead of Kevin Durant. You think they'll go back and change that?
Your man still.
Yo, Bynum is completely out of control. Yo, one third of the teams in the league want Bynum services, and Bynum has literally played ball. He's bored instead of playing basketball. He's fornicating with the coach's wife. He's not showed up, and yet. One third of the teams in the league still are offering him money because he's 7 foot. I mean, that's just what it is. And the fact of the matter is, he's taking advantage of his opportunities. People tune into those games to watch Wiggins, and they find you. Like, that's the way to take advantage of your opportunities.
Yeah. My last point is just I think they're just panicking right now. You're talking about the inconsistency of an 18-year-old who's playing on a level of basketball that he'd never played on before, and they're saying stuff like, you know, you're talking about his handle. Whoa. But, you know, I read some stats where they said just, like, as far as his jump shot goes, just 10.5% of his jumpers have been off of assists this season, where in comparison, Jabari Parker has been assisted on 57.5% of his jumpers, you know, because Duke probably plays ball more fundamentally than everybody else. But
absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll come around, you know.
We know the dude needs
to get a pass to shoot.
to your point, we often talk about how society has become a culture subject to a culture of immediacy. We got a ton of pom poms running around. Hashtag pom poms, look in the War Room Sports dictionary, prisoner of the moment, pom-poms, yes, we talking about you. That's not just left on fans and normal people, coaches, GMs, you know, those that we would look to as basketball or even football or sports minds, even the media, they fall victim to it too. They fall victim to it too. Culture of immediacy. So you see a couple
of bad
plays.
Now I actually hope he does drop, and then we can see it again where the teams are like, damn, we missed another one. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, if he has that kind of ability, yeah, that would be hilarious. If he does become like the next LeBron, but he got passed on for a guy, like a big guy. Like, I mean, you know, it's not the first time we've seen this, though. You know what I mean? It's just not the first time we've seen it. This is what happened.
It's called overanalyzation. So, Jimmy, since we're talking about B-ball, let's talk some more. Let's talk some NBA.
Let's
overanalyze that for a second.
Let's talk about that ish. The NBA Wrap is brought to you by Fanatics for the best in your favorite team's merchandise and apparel. Shop Fanatics. Shopping Fanatics is easy. As we always say, warroomsports.com. Warroomsports.com. And look for the Fanatics logo. You can buy merchandise from any NFL team, any basketball team, any hockey team, baseball team, or NCAA team. You may want to get you like a Jabari Parker jersey or something, you know, since y'all on his game.
Can't even
right
get
now.
Jerseyed off my team. They sell them.
So you can get you an Evan Turner jersey or something because, you know, where it is, Evan Turner is the Lakers. Anyway, before we get into our basketball, the first thing we have to do is talk about the players of the week. Melo and Boogie, my new favorite player, Boogie. Boogie Cousins. Dad, do you have these guys' stats?
All right, yeah. Of course, Melo, Carmelo, led the Knicks to a 3-0 week with wins over Detroit, Miami, and Philadelphia. Melo averaged 27 a game, 2.3 steals per game. They had to emphasize that because we all know the knock that Melo gets for not playing defense. And even though steals really aren't indicative of defense, unless you're just plucking people straight up on the dribble, he still played a little more defense than all the haters expect him to play. DeMarcus Cousins helped the Kings to a 3-0 week. They won over the Trailblazers, the Magic, and the Cavs. He averaged 25 points, 12.7 rebounds, and, you know, he's a double-double machine. We already know that. And we know how talented he is. But shout out to Boogie Cousins and Melo Anthony for being the NBA Players of the Week.
Hi. Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to the Players of the Week. Right now it's fashionable to bash Melo. And the one thing I can say about Boogie Cousins is, yo, I knew he had game. We've always talked about his game and how lazy he is with his game. But he's out of control right now, yo. I mean, he's just a beauty. But he played Dwight Howard, and he treated Dwight Howard like, yo, like, you a sucker, yo. So, shout to Boogie Cousins.
He said that to him in his face.
Yo, he was Boogie Cousins, man. Like, yo, his upside is, like, is crazy,
yo,
man.
Yo, he
got crazy.
A lot of
yo,
he got
Derek
a lot
Coleman's
of Derek
nephew.
Coleman in him. He got a he lot
got
of Derek man. Coleman in him. He is?
He might be.
No.
It's believable, right, though? It's believable, right? Because if Derek Coleman... When Derek Coleman got focused, he was the best player in the league. The problem is he got focused like twice a year.
Yo, if Derek Coleman wanted to prove a point to you, he would destroy you, whether you were a Hall of Famer or not. And then he would go back in his
then
team.
Then beat you up if you said something about it.
Yeah, if you said something, and then he'd go back in
his
cave and kill
you. If you objected
like
to him busting your ass, he whooped your ass right next to the score table. And then...
Oh, man. Yo, man. So shout to him. And shout out to Melo, who's putting up brand new identical stats to LeBron. But because he plays in New York and because his team, you know, has struggled, people are just, like, going crazy. Melo's a bum. Melo's this. So, you know, it is what it is, though. Anyway,
popular,
speaking of
you know,
LeBron James,
nobody thinks for themselves these days. Good.
Not at all. You know,
yo,
cliches
are part of the end of the world. They give you your ticket.
They're part of the end of the world. Anyway, yeah. Man, that's a whole other story. Be awesome, independent thought. Like they don't even teach that anymore. Anyway, let's talk about LeBron Ramon. The whole new the whole new trend in social media is not Tebowing. It's not Kaepernicking, but now it's LeBroning, and it goes viral. I've seen it on, like, the Today Show. I mean, you know, once something that started on Vine and Instagram and Twitter is now, like,
news.
Yeah, it's out of control.
Yo.
I'm not going to lie. When I saw it, I died laughing. Yo,
I was about to say, this is actually,
way out of control.
In comparison to the other trends we've had over the past 2 or 3 years, you know, like you said, T-bowing and planking and all that kind of stuff, like, a lot of that stuff I found to be stupid, especially planking. I found that to be really stupid every time I saw it. This has been hilarious, but I know it's going to stop. It's going to cease to be hilarious because we're going to see too much of it. But the first few videos I saw of people just walking around schools, malls, anywhere, and getting brushed by somebody and falling on the ground, flopping like LeBron, oh, my God.
Yo.
LeBron
can show us growth in two ways. Number one, LeBron, you know you do it. Don't take it personal. Roll with the punches and laugh like the rest of us. And the second way, yo, stop being 6'10" and 285 pounds and getting knocked down by a puppy.
He doesn't know he does it because that's the quote that a lot of them put on the front of their videos, that quote he had, you know, about not flopping.
Here's the thing, though. There's a lot of ways to look at this. For one, LeBron should, like, do his own LeBron video and just show that he's, like, making fun of it. You know what I mean?
He
should make money from it and give it to the Boys and Girls Club.
He got to do something like that because he had to be a little salty when he saw this, because this guy is the best player in the world. And this is equivalent of, like, Michael Jordan getting slammed. But the fact of the matter is, if Michael Jordan came along at the time we had Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and all that, he would have got slammed up for something, too. Like, people would have been randomly walking out and rolling dice. They would randomly walk out and rolling dice or placing bets and call that Jordan.
They'd have showed him taking Becky without that.
But here's the thing, though, man. LeBron, I think about this a couple ways. You know you're going to get the call, and you know it's going to help your team. Like, do you really knock him for doing? I mean, of course, in terms of how the game is played. But if you're able to give your team an extra possession and give them a different chance to win, just thinking about it that way, and you know that you're going to get the benefit of the doubt because you are who you are, would you want your player doing that?
I respect that approach. I respect that approach intellectually, Jimmy. But I've seen so many players play the game without doing that, without flopping, that I just can't. I'm comfortable.
But you know what it is, though? I mean, here's the thing. Like, a lot of players that flop, Dennis Rodman was the king of it. But LeBron takes it to another level. If you watch his flops, it's not just the fact that it's flopping. LeBron, like, flips over, flies into the third row, like, he's extra. He's extra with it. You know what I mean? I think that may be the difference. Like, because Derek Fisher was the king of the flop, too, but his, he would be standing straight up and just, like, you know what I mean? But LeBron is like, yo, he's flailing his hands up in the air. He's screaming. Like, he's out of control.
That's because he's learning from, because you got that damn Shane Battier on his team, man.
Yo, Shane Battier. I blame Coach K for this.
He has no place in life. Like, I hate him. I admit it. I'm going to just say this. The most positive impression that LeBron made on me in his initial assault on the league, I was watching Cleveland play, and I forget who Marcus Camby was playing for, but Marcus Camby, a grown man, wrapped his arms around a 19-year-old LeBron, and LeBron took him into the air and dunked the ball and just looked at him like, why were you trying to hug him? At that point, remembering that at 19 and looking where he is now, him flopping just it doesn't sit well with me. It's disingenuous, man. I can't get.
I respect that. It is what it is. I just think he needs to stop being so extra with it. Because even with Shane Battier is like known for that at this point. And he's actually turned up a nice little career for himself with his skill set. He's going to have like 15-20-year career. But LeBron is so extra with it. He got to chill, man. And I'm glad that the thing has started, because it's still going on. And LeBron is still going on the internet, man. But it beat the previous trend, which was the Selfie Olympics, which were out of control. Just look at the hashtag Selfie Olympics. These things come week to week. But LeBron is hilarious. Yeah, no doubt.
Some on the digital.
So, yeah, no doubt. So anyway, let's get to the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline. We have Mojo of the Season Ticket who wants to chime in. She's part of the War Room Sports Network. We will be bringing her show, sports talk show, to the War Room Sports family in 2014. Let's bring Mojo on the line. Mojo, what's going on?
Mojo.
Hey, fellas. Hey,
how are you, Mojo?
Yeah, I know I miss y'all. You know I miss chopping it up with y'all every week. So I want to say, Jimmy, I need you to get out of my head, because I was sitting here like, he needs to just make his own LeBroning video, and that would work.
Absolutely.
That was the first thing that popped in my head. I was like, and Jimmy got it.
Let Samsung do another commercial, and he's just like falling around, and they take him on the Galaxy Note 3s.
Yeah, especially since 2010 when he joined the Heat, you know, with the whole decision thing, they've been trying to adjust his image. So if he can make fun of himself, that'll go a long way into, you know, getting all Stanley's back. So,
definitely. But what I wanted to ask a question about the Wiggins mm-hmm. situation. And you know how, like, Lee Austin was saying, it was a real big hype about, you know, with his YouTube situation and all the hits that he had. So it was a whole lot of hype. And when these kids are in this position where they have or they feel they have the option to go straight into the league or go into college, and then when they go into college and their buzz kind of fades, you know, like, mm-hmm. like, or people start to doubt them because the reality of the situation is he's an 18-year-old kid in the NCAA, which is a totally different game from the NBA. So we as sports people, we understand that, but, you know, their buzz starts to fade or whatever. Does that prompt them to automatically want to consider more years in college to tweak their game
no.
as opposed to being a one and done?
No.
Are you talking about the players or the
– Yeah, she's talking about the players. Cool. She's saying the kids.
Never.
These are
too much money being flashed in front of their face.
Whose dream was to play in the league and to make millions and millions of money. Yo, they trying to get out of there after – Yo, if they could do a Kyrie Irving and only play 8 games, they would do it. I mean, yeah, they're trying to. They're
yeah,
not saying no.
Yeah, I don't see too many of those dudes who would do that.
I don't think it sounds like the how much of a joke
be,
it is. Like, what's
but
the point?
Do you think that it would be beneficial for them or not?
In terms of working on their game, but the thing is, what comes with that is having to go to class. You know, having mm-hmm. the turning pit. Now, that's why my approach to this whole thing the entire time. But
I was in school for an education, and I still didn't want to go to class. So, you know, imagine how they feel. Seriously.
I'm
like,
not even
going to
tell you my college
imagine
stories,
how they
man.
Feel.
I'm not even going to tell you my college stories, man. I got through it, you know what I'm saying? You know, got my degrees and all that. But at the end of the day, I didn't want to be there.
Yeah, my only priority.
But what I'm saying is this, Mojo. My solution the entire time was to really build up the minor league system, the D League, and really invest the money into that. Because what is the point of making them go for 1 year when we know they're not going to be there past 1 year? I mean, you're gonna. And one thing I thought about this year, and when you watch college football and the guy Jadeveon Clowney, who could have been the first pick this past year, and he basically was taking games off. I started thinking, like, what if this catches on and guys actually go to school for 1 year but, like, you know, have mysterious injuries because they don't want to, like, mess up. Yeah, fake injuries, basically, because they don't want to mess up their buzz, for one, and for two, they don't want to get injured or anything. Because you see a lot of guys who get injured, and, you know.
What's happening is, sadly, at the high school level, Mojo, there's a thing called reclassification. And you got a lot of guys that will stay an extra year or two, sometimes up to 2 years in high school and come out of high school 19 or 20 years old so that they give their bodies extra time to develop and they give themselves time on the AAU circuit.
And they can dominate a younger class.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what's happening. It's not happening at the college level. At the college level, they're only going to college for 1 year because they have to. If they could avoid it, they would.
Right.
Yeah. I'm shocked that more people haven't tried, and I understand why, because that was like a big risk that Brandon Jennings did. Where Brandon Jennings was like, look, I'm not going to school. I'm going to go play overseas. Mm-hmm. Because now you have the language barrier.
Jimmy, you know why they don't do that? Because overseas, a lot of those European teams and FIBA teams, they resent Americans coming over there and using them as a minor league. And two, they're still grown-ass men. And their practices are serious, hardcore practices. And these kids, no matter how talented, aren't ready to play at that level with grown men. So it's an adjustment. So there's a lot of dudes that don't want to do that.
But also, I remember Brandon Jennings, they documented his playing overseas. And he was talking about how tough it is just being a kid and having the language barrier. And actually, like you said, dealing with the practices with playing with grown men. So, but I think that that's why the minor league system. If they just invested some money into it, because, I mean, it could be a revenue generator as well, because I know that some people love going to watch minor league baseball. They sell out, you know, stadiums at times.
You're saying
put them in wigs, send them to the WNBA, Juana, man, you know, for a year.
Would you say,
Just throw a wiggle.
Yeah, slowly but surely, the D League is starting to become what you're talking about. Very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening very slowly, but it is. You know, you saw the kid Akil Carr from Baltimore. He ended up going to D League. The kid from North Carolina, Hairston, that left school because of driving a rental car, he's going into the D League. So you're seeing more and more
Rondo going to the D League.
Kind of.
He did get a sign. No, because you know how baseball, like when you come off an injury, you go down to the to the minors to get a start.
Right.
Like Rondo went down to work out. So,
but I think that would be interesting to invest in that D League also, because then it would be interesting too, because I wonder how that would change the draft. Like, you know, I can just put him down there for a while, so they'd really be taking flyers on jokers that, you know, may or may not work out. But I think that's the solution, because the whole thing of one and done is a joke in itself. I mean, it doesn't really help college basketball, in my opinion. Because I remember college basketball, the guy stayed 3 years, and that was the college game itself was a lot better. But how can you tell someone to stay here 3 years when they only have to do mandatory one, and there's a lot of money flashing in front of them? And a lot of them come from families where they need the money.
They need the money.
It's sort of like I was watching, they were talking about how Teddy Bridgewater reached out to Peyton Manning about coming out. And Peyton Manning's advice was like, listen, you're in a different situation than me. I didn't need the money, so that's why I stayed as long as I did. He was like, if you need the money, go get the money. You know, so
that's real. And I respect Peyton for taking that level of time with him and giving him earnest advice instead of telling him, no, you should stay in school.
Peyton Manning could have spit in his face and you would agree with that too. Yo, you just love Peyton Manning. But anyway, Mojo, to answer your question, though, I think that something has to be done, but I don't know what the solution is. Unless that was my approach to it, and maybe the reason they don't do that, it's because the NCAA and the NBA are in cahoots. But, I mean, you know, I don't think it's really helping the NCAA game, in my opinion. What do you guys think? Do you think it actually helps the game, this one-and-done thing?
No.
I think it makes college worse. I think it's bad for both leagues. I mean, just like the coming out of high school thing, you know, I have two perspectives on that. It's like, as a fan, analyst, or whatever, you know, I didn't like it because it was making the competition level in the league, you know, the skill level in the league was decreasing. But looking at it from another perspective, just as a man, you know, you can't really tell somebody who's of working age that they can't work. So that, you know, it's two different sides of that coin. But I think either way, making them go for 1 year is not that much of a difference. You just hype these kids for 1 year, and instead of not getting them at all, I still think the college game is struggling for it because, you know, the best kids are not staying around. So teams, you don't get teams that are legitimately good for 3 or 4 years anymore, you know, at a time, because they're only getting their best players for a year at a time. And unless you're like Kentucky and Calipari, where you can just, you know, make sure you get the top recruits every single year and stay competitive, it's difficult for a lot of schools out there. So, yes.
Yo, and I remember a lot of college coaches were criticizing Calipari because one of the approaches he took was he would tell recruits, I don't care if you stay 1 year, and I'm going to get you to the league. I was like, yo, you stay coming, man. So that's one of the approaches he took. You know, and a lot of coaches got pissed at him for that.
I was watching SportsCenter, and they were interviewing Calipari about something that one of his players did in the game. And he was like, well, you know, he's a freshman. What do you expect? And I was like, really, Calipari? Like, all your players are freshmen.
He's
freshman.
Only going to be a freshman.
Freaking one and done. So how can you use that as an excuse? Like, he's a freshman, so, you know, it was so funny to me. Like, really?
And, Deb, you put up a great point there in saying that the other alternative isn't a good option, just letting them come right to the league, because that kind of, like, messed the league up, you know what I mean? Shout out to Corleone Young. But that's why maybe they do something like go to the D-League for a mandatory 1 to 2 years there. Then they still get an opportunity to play against professionals and then, you know, come up or something like that. But
I don't even understand why the NBA doesn't see that as a huge marketing potential and boost for the D-League. Like, even when you consider all the hype that comes with these players, you know, like the YouTube views and this and this and that, people want to see them play. So if there's a situation where they automatically have to go to the D-League, that's going to feed the D-League attendance numbers. You know what I mean? Because people want to see them. Even
and as long as they price it right, if it's cheaper than the regular game, people will
take
the family to like minor league game.
They don't want to make their full commitment of giving every team their own affiliate. Because, you know, some teams share D-League affiliates now.
They have one D-League
team for every NBA team. So they're probably reluctant to put that money in there to get one for every team. But they don't want to
put 32 D-League teams out, and you do not want a D-League team in Minnesota. You do not want a D-League team in Toronto.
No, I get that point too, but I look at how
they need to get the Raptors out of Toronto.
Going out there in arenas anyway,
because then that helps you like build an organization like baseball. You know, you got guys getting traded for prospects. Like you can be trading cats for like D League prospects and whatnot. But you know, that's just what I wish would happen. You know, but anyway, thank you for the call, Mojo. Mojo, we will be talking to you, so you know, look out for us because we get ready to you know get ramped up and bring a season ticket over.
Yeah, I found my two new co-hosts, too, so we definitely need to
talk.
We're going to have some fun.
We will talk before the end of this weekend, Mojo. Thanks for the support, as always, and thanks for the call.
You're welcome. You know I love you guys.
All right, take care.
True.
All right.
Mojo, everybody.
Absolutely, yeah, man. So we could talk about that forever and ever in terms of the NBA, but there's been a couple of trades that have went down. There was a three-way trade between the Warriors, the Celtics, and the Heat. Do you have all the particulars of who went where?
Yeah, I hate these three-ways. You know, it's not simple to explain. But
that's what she said.
Basically,
I love it.
Basically, Jordan Crawford and Marshawn Brooks went from the Celtics to the Warriors. From the Heat, the Celtics will get a future first-round pick that's really Philadelphia's, a future second-round pick, and center Joel Anthony. Golden State is sending Tony Douglas to the Heat. So the Heat basically gives up Joel and a few picks, get Tony Douglas. The Warriors actually get some pieces that they need because, you know, if anybody watches Warriors games, you see that a lot falls on the shoulders of Curry and Iguodala as far as minutes go. So, you know, they actually needed some help, you know, as far as guys backing them up. So now, you know, because they lost Jared Jack, and he was the guy who tried to take just as many pressure shots as Curry when he was there. So I think they kind of get that back in Jordan Crawford because he really never seen a shot that he didn't like. So he'll come in, and he's a very confident player. So them getting him and Marshawn Brooks is really good. The Celtics are obviously just trying to, you know, dump and rebuild because they're getting a lot of picks in a lot of situations that's going on right now. They're still talking about making trades. And the Heat got rid of Joel Anthony.
I just
got to
say, man.
Go ahead, finish.
I got to say, shout out to Danny Ainge.
Oh, yeah.
Danny Ainge right now is like, he's sitting behind a chessboard like, yo, the Celtics are going to have one draft coming up real soon where they pick everybody. And it's like, yo, the Celtics are going to clock 1 through 10. Yo, he flipped two 40-year-old dudes for a bunch of picks. He flipped like two 40-year-old dudes for some picks. Yo, my man flipped the coach for some picks when the coach was leaving anyway. So shout out to Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge is that dude. Man, he's back there on the chessboard just making moves. And every time I see it, I'm like, damn it, because I hate the Celtics. But, yo, he's like fast-tracking the way that that team is rebuilding, yo.
I think everybody got, you know, what they wanted out of the trade. I think Miami did really good. You know, they only got Tony Douglas. I envision them possibly waiving Tony Douglas at some point because getting rid of Joel Anthony, who made more money than him, they save some salary. So I think the Heat are trying to free up some salary and then possibly waive Douglas to free up a roster spot to make a potential run at maybe an Andrew Bynum to solidify their front court on the road to a three-peat.
Are there any scenarios where you could see Tony Douglas staying and contributing to that roster, or there's too much of a logjam on the perimeter?
For who, for what? That is my question, like. Ooh,
yeah,
boy,
more or less, man.
I don't see it.
And then, like, last point, when you look at the contracts that are coming off the books at the end of the season for the Celtics show, like, yo, Danny Ainge is on up. Danny Ainge is like Heisenberg right now. He's just, like, he's playing chess right now, man, and he's winning, and I hate him for it. Think about how stuck they were with that old-ass team they had. They had their run, and they were old, just beat up and old.
Yeah.
And he basically turned them into, like, you know, a brand-new franchise.
And the thing is, I see a few Celtics fans complaining about it. I'm like, oh, yo, he's
a tripper.
For what you
big picture,
like, you can't keep those old people forever. And I think he's doing a great job of trying to set them up to be able to have some flexibility, have some picks, and be able to do some stuff in the next few years. People got to have patience, man. You know, we live in this world of everybody wants everything right now.
That's the theme of the show, right? That's the theme of the show.
Yeah,
but listen, though.
Exactly.
He's going to be the first person to win, like, executive of the year on a losing team. But he's definitely going to win this team, man.
That also tells you that Rondo is on his way back if he, you know, got rid of Crawford. And like we talked about a few minutes ago, Rondo was assigned to their D-League affiliate just to go down there for a workout. I don't even think he was going to play in a game, but he's going to work out with them while the Celtics were on the road. And, you know, so he should be coming back soon.
Yeah.
So.
He might flip him in the offseason for something else. Like, you know, he's going to flip him, too.
He's going to showcase him first, make sure he's healthy.
And that something else better make something else. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, you put up Andrew Bynum.
You're going to trade Rondo for Thibodeau.
125 to a
250.
Yeah,
they're going to trade Rondo for Thibodeau. Listen,
man, I wouldn't put it by him, man. He literally flipped the coach that was already leaving for picks. How do you do that? Anyway, Andrew Bynum, his services are being you know, required in this NBA. Like, there's about 8 to 10 teams that wanted him. It's dwindling down at this point. And
Bynum somehow
made himself, like, wanted by every contender in the league. He's wanted by, like, OKC, San Antonio, Miami, the Pacers. The best teams in the league, basically, all want Bynum. And now, I don't know what told me last night.
Dev
told me last night that there are teams now that want him just so other teams won't get him. So the Bynum sweepstakes is, like, heating up for a guy that's been nothing but, a a-hole. Where do you think he'll go?
That's where those Pacers rumors come from, because people are speculating that the Pacers are showing interest, not even because they want to use him, just because they want to keep him away from Miami and, you know, have a potentially healthy Andrew Bynum and Greg Oden to go up against Hibbert. So I think ultimately he's going to end up in Miami. Like, that's the team, like, if you know you're going somewhere on the cheap, that's the team that nobody can turn down right now, because – you know, if they can fit you on the roster for a little bit of money, you know that they're in contention to win a championship year after year. So I still see him going to the Heat. I don't think he would allow the Pacers use him that way.
I hope he has some pride, and I hope he goes to my man Larry Legend and says, Larry Legend, I don't mind backing up Jan Mahimi. And
you're saying pride. I think if he signed with the Pacers, he would be showing no pride. Because he would just be going to the highest bidder and you know, allowing himself to be used to keep him away from somebody who would want to use him.
Let me spend my hate for super teaming the way I need to spend it, because I don't want to buy any Heat to win the chip. Let me do that, okay?
And speaking of Oden, he played last night.
Yo, shout out to him, man, because all the jokes aside, like, you know, we make a lot of jokes in reference to Oden. It was good to see him come back, though, because, you know,
many
want to see his
minutes,
career in the way.
8.5 minutes, 6 points, 2 rebounds, 2 dunks. And, you know, what everybody's talking about is how he got 2 dunks and he actually landed without breaking anything. So that's a positive night for Greg Oden. That's crazy,
man.
When the highlight of your night is landing off of a dunk without breaking.
Yeah, but shot him, was good to see him play, man. You realize you forget just how big Paul that he is until you see him out there playing for the first time in a while. Like, this dude is a monster, yo. If he can stay healthy, I'm pissed, because that means the Heat have another weapon. But, you know, and the guy's, like, very intimidating in terms of, like, blocking shots and grabbing rebounds. So, Rui Hibbert was traded, that whole Bynum thing or what have you. And now the question is he going to extend his contract with Cleveland, who's looking for a veteran presence, or is he going to realize that Mike Brown is a coach and not extend? What do you guys think about Rui Hibbert?
I had always thought when we broke down the trade from the start, I thought Cleveland were the losers because I didn't see Dang wanting to re-sign with them. I know he'll have suitors, but Cleveland, you know, at this point, since they traded for him, they do own his bird rights, and like we talked about on Court Vision the other night, so they can pay him more than anybody else. But Cleveland supposedly is still holding out hope that they can save up enough money to try to lure LeBron James back to town. And I saw an interview with Luol Deng the other day where he seems to be fine with that. So with him being fine with that, I think he might be just that might be his way of being a quote-unquote professional and dissing Cleveland without actually dissing him. Like, oh, yeah, go out and try to sign LeBron. Like, he's hoping
he's getting
to come back so he don't have to resign there. Yeah.
Yo, they got him out.
It's
going to
be hard for him to turn down the money hanging in front.
Yo.
But LeBron ain't going back.
Dan
there,
Gilbert,
so
if
he
Dan Gilbert is seriously, if he's seriously building Cleveland's hope to re-sign LeBron, he really is a dickhead. Like, no, he really is. There's nothing else that I could have said there. We are a family show, and I apologize. He is. And you listeners, put your ears over your kids. You put your hands over your kids' ears and agree with you. Dan Gilbert is a dickhead if he thinks he's going to get LeBron back. Like, I can't believe that he's really seriously entertaining. That's not possible. He can't. He can't be.
Yo, I didn't mean to say that. I'm still laughing there, but I think that would be foolish, man. I think that Bang would fit, but the problem with it is Cleveland is a mess. The players don't like each other. The coach can't coach. It's just a bad place to be. And I think, here's the thing, though. By Bang having an opportunity to be there for the remainder of the season, he may just see how dysfunctional that team is and be like, yo, why would I stay? Sometimes when you bring somebody in, you'd be like, we can get them acclimated to the culture. We can show them what could actually happen. Sometimes that backfires. So,
yo,
we'll
my man
see what
Deion
happens,
Waiters,
man.
My man Deion Waiters is trying to get the knuckle game on with Tristan Thompson. And
PSP, man. No Deion Sanders, man. PSP.
No,
anyway, man.
PSP, I love Deion. I love the Deion.
we gotta talk about the NFL, but before we do, Dev, how can everybody get in touch with us real fast?
Check out the website at warroomsports.com. Call in and speak to us about any of today's topics. Just dial that Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you would like to talk to the brothers. All right, we're going to talk about the NFL. It's conference championship weekend. So the season is winding down. We're going to be salty in a few weeks because it's all going to be over.
Man.
Going to leave a big void in the hearts of all sports talk people. But anyway, NFL Wrap is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry or Palm phones, iPads, iPod, anything. Any device you have, you can listen to the show on Stitcher. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed, no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is very easy. Just click on that Stitcher logo on our website and listen. Or you can download to your mobile phone directly from that page. Before you do, make sure you enter the promo code THEWARROOM, that's all one word, for a chance to win a large cash prize. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. All right. Before we get
Yo,
into
I
the
love
conference
that music.
Championships,
I love that music.
No. Before we get into the conference championships and our, you know, predictions and everything and our brief analysis, because you know you could check out our analysis in depth on War Room Sports TV on the latest edition of Field Vision, along with Sports Kings. Check that out when you get a chance. But for now, we're going to talk briefly about some of the coaching hirings going on around the league. Mike Zimmer, the defensive coordinator from the Bengals, goes to the Vikings. Ken Whisenhunt, who everybody thought was going to go to the Lions. The Lions were actually waiting on the Chargers to finish the playoffs, and they were ready to send their private plane to get Whisenhunt, bring him in for his interview. He told them to hold off a couple of days because he had to handle some business with the Chargers. He didn't say
he told him
he was off in Tennessee. Yeah, he didn't say he was off in Tennessee getting another job. So he pops up as the head man in Tennessee. Jim Caldwell will get another chance. He's taking the Lions job now that Ken Whisenhunt didn't show up for his interview. What do you guys, you know, we can discuss all of them at once. Like, do you got any of them stand out to you? Do you think these are good hires? What up?
I actually think all of them are pretty decent hires. Mike Zimmer to the Vikings means that they're probably going to look to establish a very solid defensive presence. Their defense is already okay, kind of middle of the pack, so he'll look to improve on that. I wonder what they're going to do about the Christian Ponder experiment because it's definitely over. So this means they're in the market for a quarterback. They're going to be looking. Yeah, they'll be drafting. Ken Whisenhunt, offensive wizard. They're going to open up that Titans offense. They're probably going to give him some toys to play with as far as wide receivers. And Chris Johnson has been belly aching about how he's being utilized. So, you know, maybe Whisenhunt figures out a way to get him the ball on the edge. A little bit more swing passes, a little bit more screen passes to utilize him. I think he's overrated to begin with, and he's just bitching, but, you know, that's me. Jim Caldwell, glad to see him back in the league. Really want to see what he can do with building an actual program instead of just managing parts that were left to him. And I think that this will
be
an
opportunity.
Well, it will be. It will be, but I think that some of those guys that you're going to see on that Lions roster are going to depart, and he's going to have an opportunity to kind of put his fresh imprint on that team. I don't think they're going to keep anybody other than the core. I mean, they're not going to get rid of Ndamukong Suh, obviously. You know,
I agree with.
He's been in the league. I mean, he won a chip last year, so he's been in the league.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, first off, I think it's funny that Peyton got that kind of juice in the league. He picked up the phone and called the Lions and said, yeah, I need to hire Jim Caldwell, and they hired Jim Caldwell.
Well, you know what? They actually just did a poll of players of who's the most respected player and who's the player they would build, you would start your franchise around, and the players voted Peyton on both of them. He actually got 27% of the vote for the most respected thing.
Yeah.
The next two dudes in line had like
12% of the vote. And you know what's funny about that? Because what's funny about that is this, right? You know, we have a lot of people that hate Peyton Manning, a lot of people that love Peyton Manning, and some of them are both out of control. No, I'm not. See, no, no, I'm not going to get into this because we're not going to have many long debates that we always
like
have.
28 minutes.
I put it like this: I am not a Peyton hater, but one thing I can say is this: humility goes a long way. Because one thing about Peyton, a lot of these young guys have to learn, and we talked about it earlier in the show, is Peyton has always been, like, you know, a humble guy and knows how to carry himself. So that doesn't shock me that he got that kind of vote. But getting back to Jim Caldwell, that's the hire that I found interesting because I didn't even hear those rumors, and he just popped up as the coach. And he's saying all the right things. If you watch his press conference, he wasn't talking about rebuilding. He was like, yo, I'm trying to win a chip next year with the talent we got in this team. He says there's enough talent on this team to win next year. This ain't about rebuilding. It's about winning it.
Jimmy,
this is about winning the Super Bowl right now. Yeah.
What's even funnier, though, is allegedly they contacted Dungy first. So they're like, let me call him first, and then, you know, we get this dude.
Yeah, Tony Dungy realizes that that cover two don't work no more, so he's going to stay and make that TV money.
I think the interesting hire is Mike Zimmer in Viking land.
That's a good hire.
Because getting a defensive hire, you really don't know where they're trying to go. Like, one thing I had to correct B. Austin on, he said the Vikings were middle of the pack defense. Vikings are second to last in the league to the Cowboys as far as defense. So the fact that they got a defensive head coach, but on the other side of the ball, they need a quarterback, which is the most important position on that side of the ball, you kind of wonder where they're going to start and how they're going to build that team. I mean, I think even though you have a defensive head coach now, with what their quarterback position produced this past season, I think you almost definitely have to take a quarterback if you're in line to get one of the top guys on the board. You have to do that no matter who your coach is. I mean, you can still build the defense, you know, throughout the rest of the draft, but you have to
but
go
you
out
know what's
with a quarterback
funny?
If you're this team.
What's funny, Dad, is talking to a lot of fans of football franchises. A lot of them don't realize that one of the things that's important, of course, head coach is definitely important, and everything falls on their lap, but who they hire as their coordinators and position coaches are just as important. And I've heard, like, Steve Young said on TV that you spend more time, he was talking about, like, how much time he spent with Andy Reid. And you spend more time with your position coach than you do with anyone else. And there's, at times, they can be just as, if not, you know, a little bit more important than who the head coach is. So
yeah, Nana, we all know that, Jimmy, from, like, being entrepreneurs and, you know, being in the corporate world, like, the success of whatever you do, whether it's a sports franchise or any other kind of business, it depends on the people you hire. You can't just be that dude and then hire a bunch of dummies. Like, you have to be, like, good leaders are good leaders because they have good people working for them.
Absolutely. It's a reason why when you look at the most successful coaches in the history of the game, whether it be a Bill Walsh, whether it be a Don Shula, they start to have trees. We say he falls from this tree or that tree. And the reason they have trees is because they put good guys around them and they teach them and they go on and, you know, I mean,
exactly.
You know, by backwards, I mean, you know, look at the Chargers. Chargers made the playoffs now with our assistant coach from last year. I'm just saying. But so I want to see who they put around him in Minnesota.
Bill Parcells' tree has won 6 of the last 12 Super Bowls.
Exactly.
So 6 of the last 10 or 6 of the last 12, something crazy like that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So it's all about who they put around them. So I'm looking forward to see who he hires when he builds his staff out, because I think that will tell. He can focus on those defense, but if he puts some offensive minds around him, then we'll see what happens. You know,
well,
so
I got a question for you guys surrounding what you just talked about then, Jim. Since you know, your coordinators are so important because, you know, people on different sides of the ball spend more time with them than the head coach, how do you guys think the Bengals are going to, you know, bounce back next season? Because,
man,
they lost their offensive coordinator to Washington. He's their head coach. And now they lost their defensive coordinator to Minnesota. So do you think they're going to struggle, or do you think it'll just be easy to grab somebody else good and, you know, plug them right in and just keep chugging along?
I think defensively the Bengals will be okay. I think defensively they're okay. I think offensively, in order for Andy Dalton to take the next steps in his maturation that you needed, I think you needed him in a nurturing environment that's going to keep a system in place that he can learn over the next from this point, the next 2 seasons. And with that instability, that could be a very bad thing for Andy Dalton. And I think Andy has the talent. I think Andy has the talent to be a very good QB. He's not, you know, doesn't have the cannon arm, but decision making is there, accuracy is there. You know, I think
the last 2 weeks it wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't. But you know, we're not prisoners in the moment, folks. We don't judge people on 2 games or 1 game. But yeah, so that's going to be crucial. That's going to be a big deal on the offensive side of the ball. And then you made a comment about Minnesota being the 31st defense. I think a lot of that was dictated by the 3 and out that Christian Ponder led on that offense, and the fact that they
keep blaming it all on Christian Ponder, though.
He's blaming everything on Christian Ponder.
I was going to get to the
dog. They used to give up like 30 points before the first quarter was out.
They had quarterbacks to stop the original black man, man. They had like 3 or 4 people. They
were
four-man front.
Yo, listen, I hear you, but you got to understand that Minnesota's cornerbacks were trash. They kicked it. Yo, they gave up like a touchdown on the first drive, like every game of the season. Like, so a lot of that's not Ponder's fault. Ponder a lot of times started, you know, behind Paul. Yeah, listen though, you mentioned something about Cincinnati and how they're going to rebound. And I think it was Bill Parcells. I'm going to give the right guy credit, but he was talking about one of the problems with having a successful season in which you don't win the Super Bowl is people pillaging your staff. And he used to, smack, especially when guys would be, like, in the playoffs taking interviews. You know what I'm saying? So, but the fact of the matter is Cincinnati had a very successful season, and their coaching
staff
went and got
their
chicken.
Not only did the coordinators get poached, but you know the coordinators are going to take some of their guys with them to and give them higher jobs than they had in the exactly. I can't remember who it was, but somebody got taken from somebody left with a guy from their team and now is a coordinator. I can't remember who it was. It'll come to me soon, but it's crazy.
And shout out to Lovie Smith, man, because Lovie Smith took the job, and Lovie Smith is trying to, like, you know, he's trying to single-handedly get rid of the Rooney Rule, so he's putting a bunch of brothers on his staff, man. So, you know what I'm saying?
They're going to go
0-18,
and that's
going to
be all she's
Come on, man. Don't do that, man. Don't do that. I'm rooting for him right now, man.
They're
going
to lose.
I'm rooting for him, too.
He's at 0-18. They're going to lose two extra games just because of the squad full of
count the preseason against me.
Extra credit.
My man Lovie Smith is some brothers, man. My man Lovie Smith, listen, man, he knows about polynomics, man. He's putting brothers to work.
Like,
they're probably going to hire Tony Dungy as a GM and just go all out, man.
Yo,
change their jersey colors to black.
I think Lovie will turn some stuff around there. I think he's a good coach. I think a lot of people overrate him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I don't think he's a special coach. I think he's a good coach, though.
For whatever reason, I actually like Lovie Smith. His coaching is not really – it's something about the dude. Like, I root for Lovie. I think he's good on the defensive side of the ball, or at least the staff that he has always run with is good on the defensive side of the ball. It's the offense that they need work on, and Glennon might not be it. So they're going to be in the market shopping for somebody to throw the ball to Vincent Jackson to hand the ball.
I don't dislike Glennon. You got to remember.
I don't know how I feel about
that.
Glennon.
I think
you
give him more time. I think he did. To be in the situation that they were in, for him to be a first-year starter, I would give Glennon another chance. I think I've seen some good things from him. You just got to put better stuff around him. The defense was always good, but, you know, Lovie's going to make sure that stays tight. He's just going to get as much help from every unit as he can possibly get, and maybe he'll get, you know, another chance. But, you know, if not, whatever.
I know what it is. I know why I like Lovie. Because as long as Lovie's in the league, the cover two will never die.
Let's be off his defense. I mean, this is true. Lovie took some buggers to work, man. So shout out to Lovie for that, man. You know, and we'll see what happens there. Lovie has always hired, like, strong offensive coordinators and has pretty much let them run their thing. Like,
NBA player of the week, he's sitting in the front row with Rudy Gay at the UConn-Memphis game. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Boogie and Noah. But anyway.
Boogie and Rudy Gay at the game.
So that's what's going on.
He probably got game tonight.
That is hilarious. People don't realize how hilarious that is, but that's hilarious, yo. Anyway, man, what about the coaches that can't get jobs because they're rocking long hair and all that, though?
Yeah, we're hearing that Rob Ryan might be having trouble getting a head coaching gig because of his locks.
Don't sell out, Rob.
His long,
don't
golden locks. Yeah, I mean, we've seen this before, especially being, you know, black people. If you go to the corporate world, a lot of people have problems with dreadlocks, braids, stuff like that. You wouldn't think that would rear his head in football, but at the same time, you know, the coach is like the CEO of the team, will be the face of the team. So, you know, I can't say I don't understand it, but, you know, like B.O. said, if he don't want to sell out, then he don't have to sell out. It depends on how important it is to him. But he's good at what
just
he does.
A good old
he came
boy.
In and made he came in and made a historically bad Saints defense a top five defense.
Pretty good.
One
and the funny thing about
he left Dallas to the worst team ever.
Yo, he kept Roman Harper. How did he do that?
Roman Harper looked like he's 60.
Yo, he plays like he's 60. Yo, he can't cover anyone in the NFL. Anyone. Linemen.
Yeah. And Vaccaro got hurt at the end of the season, so they didn't even have him when they bludgeoned our Eagles in the playoffs. Yeah, so that's everything that's going on around the game. But let's get to the nitty-gritty. Let's get to the conference championship games. Like I said, if you guys, because we only have about 5-6 minutes left here, if you guys want to hear more in-depth coverage, make sure you go to War Room Sports TV and you go find the latest episode of Field Vision, where War Room Sports, Sports Kings, and a couple of guys from a couple of other networks on with us, and the panel, we basically gave our in-depth analysis and predictions about the game, but we'll try to do that for you for the rest of the show. We're going to start with the Patriots and the Broncos. y'all know, yo, what was that? they had a week 12 matchup, and the Broncos basically jumped out to a sizable lead. And they let it slip away from them in the second half of the game to lose to the Patriots in Foxborough, 34-31. Now, we all know about the hype over the quarterback matchup because these guys have played each other a lot of times in the regular season. The Brady is 2-1 over Peyton Manning in the playoffs, so Peyton Manning could even that up if his Broncos can get the win this week. You guys know how I feel about that whole thing. I feel that the head-to-head quarterback matchup is probably one of the most overrated things in sports because I've never seen either one of those guys or any other quarterback line up on defense to actually defend the other quarterback. So it's all it's all about the hype for the game, and you know the fans eat it up, and that's a part of what they're doing. They got to sell it. So they sell it real well, but I've always thought, you know, when they talk about Peyton Manning struggling against the Patriots, I always thought that it was because of, you know, Bill Belichick, his defensive coordinators, and their defensive scheme rather than he having some kind of deficiency against Tom Brady. But, you know, that's just me. So yeah, what do you guys think about this game? You know,
all right, well, here's the first thing I want to say is everybody go check out episode 164. Where before the season started, I predicted Seattle would be playing at home against San Fran and Denver would be playing at home against the Patriots. I actually said that it's on episode 164 where I predicted these four teams and I predicted who had home field advantage. And also on our pick and pool this year because I picked the most games right, which is probably why my fantasy team stumped the high hell because all I could do is get my picks right. Anyway, with that being said, I am completely biased in this game. I'm a Broncos fan for over 30 years, judge your mother. But, you know, with that being said, the one team I didn't want to play, and I said this even in episode 164, I didn't want to play the Patriots. Because, like Buzz said, Belichick seems to have Peyton's number. Even when Belichick was a defensive coordinator with the Jets, they got into Peyton's skin. So it's not even just the Patriots and Colts. Even when he was with the Jets as a defensive coordinator, he just found a way to, you know, get under Peyton's skin and ruin the way he plays football. But, I mean, you know, if you want to win the championship, there are no easy outs no more, man. All the best four teams are still here. So if to win the championship, you have to go through them. In terms of this game, I think
is their third matchup in the AFC Championship game. So when they won the Super Bowl that year when they played the Bears, they had to get through the Patriots then. So,
and that was a great game, by the way. That was a great game. But all I'm saying is I think that to be real fast, I don't really have that much time, I think Julius Thomas is just going to make the difference in this game. He didn't play the last game. He's a matchup nightmare, and Peyton looks for him. He's had a breakout season, so I think he'll be the difference in this game, and I'm going with the Broncos 34-24.
Okay. I agree. I think the Broncos are going to pull this game off. I think it's going to be difficult for any team to beat this team twice in one season. I would hope that John Fox could adjust well enough against the master of adjustments, Bill Belichick on the other side, to not let that happen. You know, like I said, in the first matchup, Denver jumped out to a comfortable lead. So they, you know, they've shown that, you know, they can beat this team even though they didn't beat this team. What's the odds if they jump out to another lead like that they're going to, you know, take their foot off the gas and allow them to come back again? I don't think it's possible. But on the other side, I don't know if New England is going to let them just jump out to a big lead. So I expect a good game. I expect Denver to win this game close and advance to the Super Bowl. B. Austin, who you got in this one?
I got Denver. I'm going to go 34-27. There are some interesting matchups to look at here. All due respect to the great Tom Brady, and I think that his will is going to be very strong in this game, and I think that he's going to make some things happen. But from a talent standpoint, if we match Denver's offense up against the Patriots' defense, the injuries at linebacker are going to play into the matchups on the interior. They are running with a virtual patchwork front set. And as they as Belichick has been known to do, he coaches them up, gets the best out of players. But there's no substitute for talent. And talent-wise, they just cannot match up on the interior with Julius Thomas at the tight end, whether it's walking the safety down to have to cover him with a D-back or it's sliding a linebacker.
Said briefly, fam.
Over.
Yo, you about to break down the whole tape, though. We got
I'm done. I'm going. I think that's where the matchup problems become. So I'm going Denver.
Denver. Okay.
Yep.
I think. y'all guys, I ain't giving no scores, but yeah, it's definitely, you know, an intriguing matchup, and I think. On the Patriots side of the ball, the game plan, Bill Belichick is probably going to leave everybody guessing because, you know, you do have Tom Brady. But who expected them last week to come out with the running attack that they came out with last week? You know, even when they got down deep into the red zone, they were committed to the running game instead of worrying about padding Brady's stats. At this point, you don't have to do that. He's an all-time great. So you don't know, you know, what they're liable to do because they might come out slinging it. So let's go to the NFC side. These two teams, the Seahawks and the 49ers, they're building quite a rivalry here. They split a pair of games this season. We all know about the 12th man, and we all know about Seattle actually, you know, trying to limit the ticket sales so San Francisco fans can't get to the stadium.
I'll be very brief because we have, like, literally 30 seconds left. I'm taking Seattle. I think it'll be a very close game. I'm just taking a home team in this game, like Dev said yesterday. But, I mean, also I'm trying to keep my picks alive because I have Seattle and Denver in the bowl. So, to keep my picks alive, I'm taking Seattle.
Yeah, I'm taking Seattle as well, but I have absolutely no confidence in that pick because I think these teams are so evenly matched. It might actually come down to the crowd. You know what I'm saying? It's that evenly matched. But I have way more confidence that the Denver Broncos will beat the great New England Patriots than I have picking this particular game here because just as I said, Seattle might, you know, can win. The 49ers could win, and I won't be surprised at all. B. Austin,
all right.
Finish it off.
Make it 10 seconds later.
Yeah. Seattle on a Kaepernick mistake.
Yeah, your Kaepernick slander is out of control. You guys will see that on WomenSportsTV.com.
I mean, from what I see from both of those guys, Jim, I just feel that it's going to be – I think it's going to be a game between the running backs. But at the same time, I still think Kaepernick might do more than Russell Wilson. So I don't know.
All right, our show ended like 2 minutes ago. So thanks, everybody, for joining us in the war room. Shout out to everybody in the chat room, those Facebook, Twitter. Those who called in we couldn't get to, we apologize. As you can see, when we get to talking sports, we run our mouths. Tune in next week, same time, same place for some more great sports talk. We'll be talking about Super Bowl coverage, and the season went fast. It's always a wild time in the War Room Sports. So make sure you always check in the War Room. Check WarRoomSportsTV.com for our video content. Check us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+. We're all over the Internet, and it's always at War Room Sports. As we always say, don't accept mediocrity. Be steadfast in the war against ignorance, and we'll see you chumps on top.
Peace.
Y'all tune to Jimmy. Know the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, Be Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. It's not dialed.
Call it
323-14-0012. They be going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, the tough push. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secrets, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cap? You better name us. War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.